Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition, another epic episode, number 25 of Von Wehhunt and the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. It's our star date of May 2nd, 2023 AD, our fun show of the month, the first Tuesday of every month, unless otherwise scheduled, of course, which happened last month. Glad you're all here. After the monologue, I will be taking calls from our audience in Radio Land. There are tens of thousands of you out there, I know, chomping at the bit to call, but only the brave call. I know how radio works. 99% of the people will listen to the elite 1%. We are the 1%ers on this show who call in and who present the show. You're also our elite listeners, because you know on this show, I encourage you, sit back, have a beer, or your favorite manly beverage, kick back and think about what we're saying. Let it sink in deep into the male Viking psyche of our time. It's getting crazy out there, isn't it? We'll get into all that and everything else tonight. I always say on every show, onwards to the Bachelor Empire, and may God save the Bachelor King. Damn right. Now, on my show, profanity can be used, but we don't want to overuse it. I view profanity in radio as sometimes a necessary evil. Sometimes it's the only word that can get your mean out and convey your actual true feelings about a subject matter, right? Or anything else for that matter. So if you call, we try to keep it clean. If we have kids in the audience, this is really an adult theme show, adult themes. So you have been warned and the radio walked the gun. No complaints on my show. If you don't like it, I call it the free market economy. Change the dial. We don't care. That's a little secret. We don't care because we get new listeners coming in all the time who want the show, who seek the show, who seek us out. I get their cards and their text messages, their letters, their telegrams, emails. People can communicate in all kinds of different ways. And they let me know, don't you dare. Don't you dare, Von Wehhunt, ever go off the air, or we're going to be supremely pissed off. I get it. I gotcha. I'll never get off the air. We hopefully will never be forced off the air. Well, this is the fun show, and as you know, our Thursday show is always scheduled on Thursday night, the night of Thor, the hard-hitting political show. But on this show, we will talk about politics, economics, how it affects the man about town, the American Bachelor, as this show is based on my hit book, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. You got to get a copy of that book. You got to check it out. It's the retro and modern day Bachelor Guide for the new Renaissance man of the millennium and beyond. You know, it's hard to imagine that I published that book in 2012. Where is the time gone? I've had three books, which they call in the industry as, they're manuscripts. I write constantly. One of the sequels is already done. It's in the can, so to speak. I really got to put the finishing touches on it and get it out there. And that's this year's goal, is get out the sequel to this book and get it out there in a big way. So I've got a lot of work to do, as well as a website for the book. And there's a lot of big things that we're doing. But all these things, as the things in your life, don't you know this? And I know that you do. I'm being facetious. Everything worth doing takes time and effort and money. Never forget that. Time, effort, and money. And lots of time, lots of effort, and lots of money, right? Well, on this show, we'll get into a lot of interesting topics. We'll go into some dark corners with the Bachelor's Den. We'll talk about expat travel, chicks galore. We get into a lot of cool themes. Now, last week we talked about the toxic dating environment for men. We talked about hoeflation, which is a real term. Hoeflation, the cost of your hoes, boys, out there. I get it. I know. We talked about the Morton Steakhouse girl, the girls that on the first date, back now with Biden inflation and hoeflation, it's now a $200 surf and turf dinner. Don't fall for it, guys. Don't fall for it. Meet the girl of your dreams. If she won't meet you for an appetizer at a middle-class restaurant, don't wine and dine her until she gives you the goods, if you know what I mean. And I know you know what I mean. We'll also get into Hunter Biden, of all things, tonight. He went to an Arkansas courthouse this past week. You know, he's paying the mother of his love child $20,000 a month. Oh, yeah. $20,000 a month. That girl in Arkansas, which is a very low-cost place to live, she's raking in $240,000 a year just because she spread her legs for Hunter Biden. Well, I don't blame her. She hit the Powerball. She hit the jackpot. Next 20, 25 years, Hunter Biden's on the hook. And the Arkansas judge is not going to lower his child support payments. If you're paying child support tonight, if you're in a similar hoflation type of situation, I want you to call the show tonight. 563-999-3437. First-time callers get first in line. We will talk about it. On my show, nothing is ever off the table. We will talk about everything. And we don't hover or target any group. We make fun of men. We make fun of women. So we're the equal opportunity offender in America. I'd have it no other way. Well, I welcome you all into the Bachelor's Den, America. You will enter at your own risk. It's the Bachelor Nation, my friends. This is inside the world of America's favorite guilty pleasure, brought to you by your illustrious host. And this is a Von Wehunt Show production tonight. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Purple Mountain of Majesty, the Arizona Mountains. Love Arizona. Great state. But you bachelors are all over the nation, all over the world. We're in 28 countries. We have a lot of new listeners. And tonight, like every other show, we will induct you properly into the radio fraternity and Hall of Fame.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at Arms, do your duty.
Now on your Delta Tau Chi, name is Weasel.
From now on, your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman, you've given this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
Flounder?
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
What a great movie, Animal House. Well, welcome again to the Space Age Bachelor Pad and our newest Blog Talk radio show. Glad you're all here tonight. The Bachelor's Den is wide open. The bar is open. I always pour a few drinks before the show here at my studio desk. Got a cigar, light up later. Outside, as I contemplate the show and future shows and you out there in Radio Land. We hear a lot from you guys during the week. So I want you to call in if you get the chance. A lot of you guys like to sit back and listen, and that's perfectly fine. And, you know, Scarface the movie. If you haven't seen it, you need to see. That movie is a must-see and a requirement going forward, as well as Godfather 1, 2, and 3, especially 1 and 2. But the Godfather series and Scarface, we have a lot of things that we mentioned during the show about those two movies. They're manly movies. You need to watch them. Tony Montana famously said in Scarface, in America, first you get the money, then you get the power, then you get the woman. A friend, neighbor. You have balls in this world. Don't tell me you guys are incels. Don't tell me that some of you guys are asexual. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear you guys are in your mom's basement at age 35. I don't want to hear any of that. We couldn't wait to get out of the house in my generation. We loved our parents, loved my parents deeply, but we couldn't wait to burst out, get out there in the real world. Make some mistakes and make some successes, too. The biggest thing in life is it's okay to fail, guys. I have more respect for the guy that tried two or three or four different businesses and failed, and finally made it, than the guy that never took a risk, the guy that never did anything but just sit there and analyze everybody else. It's okay to analyze, but don't analyze yourself to death. Actions, actions, actions in this life. I'm the original action figure. I love action. You gotta ask yourself, do I have balls in this world or don't I?
All I have in this world is my balls and my word, and I don't break them for no one.
Who's
put this thing together? Me.
Yeah.
That's who. Who do I trust? Me.
Yeah. It didn't let an eye on this one. Hey. Yeah. From it, Tony Montana, hey, I'm Tony Montana, hey, I'm Tony Montana, I'm Tony Montana, hey, from it, Tony Montana.
Love that. Love, we can play that for a long time. But you get the picture. You get what I'm talking about. We play music on the show and promos to set the mood. Glad you're all here. Told you several shows ago that you will not be happy in this life until you are happy. Never forget that. Is everyone busting your chops out there to get married? How is your family situation? How is your love life, kid? You better ramp it up. The chicks are out there. Are they strange? Yeah. Are they weird? Yeah. Is the dating environment toxic at times? Yes. Hell yes. But you got to, like, keep at it. Had a she could talk to me this week. I'll tell you a story. We met a few months ago, had some fun, and then she was non-responsive for about a month and a half. Just I text her about once a week, just chime in. Nah, you get like one-word answers. Don't forget, these girls have got lives in the sense that they get busy, they have drama in their life, family, could be a sibling, could be a roommate. And sometimes, man, they're just out of commission. When that happens, I call it the big chill in my book. Don't worry about it. Move on. Do projects around the house. Talk to new women. That's the best way to move forward. Always talk to multiple women. That's the man's game. Women bitch and moan in this country. Hell, they can get laid by snapping their fingers. Oh, they'll say that they can't. They'll say life is so hard. But don't believe them. A woman knows she can walk into a bar on any Friday or Saturday night. If she really wants to get laid, really wants to meet a guy, it can happen. It's the easiest thing for a woman to get is a man and a boyfriend right now in America. Or social media likes, and they'll tell you that. Easiest thing for them to get. They can bat their eyelashes at you. They'll sweep a man off their feet. Pardon the pun. But that's it. And they know that the hardest thing for women to get is money. They go through money like water. So this girl wants to get a few dinners from me. We'll get a few dinners and go from there. But they text you out of the blue. And I always told you, when they're hungry, when they are tired of all the drama in their life, you be the cool one. You be the sane one. You be the cool guy. They'll come back. Trust me. Happens every time. When they get hungry enough, they'll hit you up for a free dinner. Don't worry. And whatever happens after midnight happens, if you know what I mean. So just keep that in mind as you're going on. I wrote down some notes from last week's show. It's a much harder road. It really is. To be and stay a bachelor. But I would say the perks of the job are amazing. Now, just having said that, just know that all societies want young men to get married because it is good for the overall economy. They want you to get married. They don't want you to have this knowledge they were talking about on my show. They want you to be bogged down with a hopefully a great wife. They're out there. I always say we have some great women, some great chicks in this country, but they're gems. They're diamonds in the rough, but they get picked up real quick. No one ever tells you the last part. They get picked up really fast. Oh, you'll see them, but they'll have a ring on their finger and they'll be married because the smart guys who are looking for a wife, they scoop them up and they have the power of proposal. Never forget, women, and when they're young, have the power of sex, but men have the power of the marriage proposal. No woman can marry herself, though some are trying. They need a man to propose marriage to them if a man wants to go down that road. We have that power. It's a huge power. Women clamor for that power. They clamor for you to stake your claim, to make her a legitimate woman, like the old saying goes. You've got that power, guys, if you choose to accept them. If you don't, then play the field. The Bachelor Road is much better in this current economy. The U.S. military is having a very hard time with their recruitment goals of young men. You know, you can't really blame the young men of America. They don't want to fight these no-win wars in Ukraine or for NATO. Can't blame them. I've always told you guys the best revenge of this world, this plane that we're on, is living well. Live well. If you want to fight, fight. Military, you can learn a lot of good skill sets, though. In one way, it's sad for our country and our nation. When I was a kid, there used to be guys lined up outside the recruiting station under the Reagan era in the 90s and 80s and all that. We lined up. There was a time when the military actually put out pronouncements that we're full and we're not hiring for a year or two. We're that full of people. Not anymore. Well, the military has gone woke, and the red-blooded American male doesn't want that. They don't want to be in a bag military, to be blunt. And on my show, we are blunt. They don't want that. Don't blame them. So they move on. Some guys will make it in the civilian market. I came very close to going into the U.S. Air Force myself. That's a whole other show and story. Interesting, though. But the great thing about being a bachelor is that society in America is sick. It's the one way you can navigate where your future and destiny is not reliant on some fickle bitch that's going to nag you and hound you to death. Just think of it. I told you guys a long time ago. Many of you took my advice. Many of you did not. I said 5 years ago, buy a house, buy a property. You're going to double your money. Oh, Vaughn, you just exaggerate. No, look at it. Houses have doubled in value in many, many parts of the country. You would have made at least a ton of cash in equity. Would have made bank. I know it's hard to make these payments, these down payments. But that's why I told you a few years before that, start saving up with two or three jobs, cut your expenses, and save, save, save. Well, your house is your own domain and castle. As a bachelor, you own all the square feet. All the closet and shelf space is yours. And you don't have to share with a woman, only if you want to. You are the alpha of your own domain and destiny. You can design your home any way you want. I've renovated my property over the years. It's been great. It's way better now than it was when I first bought it. But I've renovated it. I doubled down. I tripled down on this property. Quadrupled down through thick and thin. Because I knew, one, you need lodging. You need lodging. And having lodging in the future is going to be critical. Because I tell you, the rents are only going to go up. Don't believe this crap about rent implosion or no one's going to give you rent control. Maybe in L.A., New York, but beyond that, nowhere else, baby. Housing prices are only going to go up. No one I know is taking a pay cut. Everyone I know is raising prices, Biden inflation. Our fiat currency is going down in value. Why would you ever think logically that a home would be half the price? Why, because some idiot told you that at Starbucks and some little bistro? Really? Some pinhead that's not even working during the day? You're going to rest your financial laurels on that? Really? Wow. Think about who's giving you advice. There's an old saying, consider the source. Consider the source. Someone tells you something. My first thing is, well, have you done it? Okay, you're saying for me to do this, this, and this. Have you done it? Well, no, I haven't. Well, then you're a fine one to talk. Have you done the business? Have you bought the product? No. Okay, well, then shut the F up. If you haven't done it, don't preach to me. Don't lecture to me. I'll listen to you, but I'm like going, I love results in the real world. I'm a results-oriented guy. However we get them, we get them. You know, I'm a firm believer there's high tech and war and low tech, right? Well, get your own property. You'll be the alpha of your own destiny. On the weekends, you have no honey-do list as a bachelor. There's no pecking order since you are the top dog of the house and castle. There's no nagging biatch in your home. No woman giving you lip or orders or challenging you or, God forbid, your masculinity or trying to dictate or control every aspect of your life, including your friends. Don't you notice this? Women always try to get rid of your friends. Why? They're an outside influence. She wants to be the only influence in your life. Now, part of that is nature's way. I get it. But part of it, too, is to get rid of all outside influences. Haven't you ever noticed you were best buddies with your friend? If you grew up together, if you were frat buddies at college, the minute he gets married, he drops off the radar. Oh, the wife will act egalitarian and go, it's okay if you meet with him once a year or so for a pizza or something. Maybe. But you'll notice over time, you drift further and further away from each other, like two ships in the ocean, two cruise ships going two different ways. You're going to Hawaii and they're going to Haiti. What you want as a bachelor in America is more freedom and liberty. What this nation was founded on and what it used to fight wars over. Successfully, I may add. We won the Revolutionary War. We won the War of 1812 when the British came back to reclaim their colonies. Well, the one thing I've been hearing from many guys out there is they feel they have a loss of control. And they say they have troubles and problems. Look, every guy's got problems or troubles. I say stop having so many troubles. Stop having so many problems. You got to think about these things and look at your life, okay? This is the radio equivalent of the Playboy Mansion. Some of you guys are pressured to get married. I get it. But can you even find a wife if you wanted one? You can't walk into a store in America today and pick up a wife off the shelf. No. It's a lot harder today, I think. Now, when you're young, you'll notice, in your 20s especially, you'll have a girlfriend in every port. I know I did. There was one time I had 6 girlfriends. You can call me anywhere in the book, but all I got to tell you is it was all consensual. Me and the ladies had a great time. At college, when I went down to Dallas in the late 80s, early 90s, it was crazy. Me and my friends still talk about it. What was in the water there? It was better than college. But I thought college could never be surpassed. Well, Dallas, Texas surpassed it. Now not so much. But there was I believe in these chapters in a man's life, these little eras. It won't last forever. It might last 3 to 5 years. Like any chapter of any great book, it ends. These things end. And you move on to the next chapter. And then for me, I went the girlfriend route, and then I went to event route. I was going to events with like multiple people. Still am doing that. Lots of fun. I've had some girlfriends in my life that felt like my wives, put it that way. But the other thing about being a bachelor is you can set the temperature. Here's a big thing that most guys never think about. You can set the temperature in your home at any degree you want. It's the little things in life that add up. When you have a wife, they're always cold. If you open up a window, she'll say, shut down that window. Close that door. I don't like it. Now, you've got one set of bills under one roof. What does the man do? He capitulates. Yes, dear. Closes the door. And like I told you before, most married men will never admit it, but they end up in the garage or the backyard where they'll hang out with some fresh air. Because if they go inside and if they dare to open the door or a window in front of Miss Muffet, she'll freak out. It's the little things in life, as you all know, that get into your damn day. It's the little things in life. Well, the last few shows, we talked about the work wife, the expat lifestyle, the female ultimatum. And tonight, we're moving on in the book. We're moving on to the chapters. I want to hear about any child support stories you may have, how you negotiated with the ex-wife, what you did, the result of it. And don't forget, boys, 70% of all divorces in America are still brought up by the women. Now, when I drive around Phoenix, Scottsdale in my convertible, burgundy leather, got the tunes on, I always kind of smirk when I see one attorney billboard after the other. Divorce, easy, no payments down, call toll-free, answer 24 hours a day. Now, how can a society sustain itself with this constant attorney billboards encouraging you to divorce so they can carve up your estate, so they can buy more airtime, and they can buy more billboards to get more divorces? Well, don't forget what they don't tell you when you talk to your priest or your pastor. I believe in the nuclear family. I believe that marriage is the building blocks of our society. But I also believe there are a lot of hyenas and vultures out there who can't wait for you to get married so they can carve up your estate when it goes south on you. Now, the average marriage lasts about 5 to 7 years in America. People today will say, hey, Bob, you had a good run. You had a good time for 5 years. Week, nod, nod, maybe a few kids. Few great kids came out of it. Maybe you're still amicable with your ex. That's cool. I get it, man. I get it. But we have a lot to talk about tonight. As a young bachelor on the make, money never sleeps, pal. Never forget that.
Yeah.
Money never sleeps, pal. Just made 800,000 Hong Kong gold. It's been wired to you.
Play with you. You done good, but you gotta keep doing good. I showed you how the game works. Now school's out.
Mr. Gecko, I'm there for you 110%.
No. You don't understand. I wanna be surprised.
Astonish me, pal. New info. I don't care where or how you get it. Just get it. My wife tells me you made a move on Darien. Well, here's some inside info for you. That Euroflash GQ type she's going out with got big bucks, but he's putting her feet to sleep. Exit visas are imminent. So I don't want you losing your place in life.
Ah, Jesus. I wish you could see this. Lights coming up. I've never seen a painting that captures the beauty of the ocean at a moment like this. I'm gonna make you rich, Bud Fox. Yeah, rich enough you can afford a girl like Darien. This is your wake-up call, pal. Go to work.
That's right. This show is your wake-up call, pal. This is the wake-up call, the Von Wehen Show. The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, the greatest show in the universe. Well, there is the Asian yin-yang thing. Sun Tzu, The Art of War. All is fair in love and war. Never forget that. Well, time to kick off another epic episode of the show tonight. We're so glad everyone's here. When I get back, get your cocktail, get your German beer, your Mexican beer, what have you, your shot glass. We'll get into some calls, into some discussions. I know you'll love that. And of course, we toast Dino on every show.
This is Dean Martin, alias Matt Helm, asking you to help me stamp out spies, or at least muss them up a little. In our new picture, The Ambushers, I got my hands full with Matahara's like Centerburger.
Skull.
Sure, Skull's got ice in it. Janice Rule and those ever-loving sleigh girls.
Don't shoot.
They get you when you're high. They get you when you're low. They get you when you're standing still, or else when you're on the go. They get you in a blink, the edge or on the brink. But bam, wham, bam.
It's too much for one mad hound, so how about pitching in a little, huh? There's enough action for everybody, so bring your friends and we'll make them honorary ambushers. They're the ambushers.
The
yeah, pitch in, guys. There's chicks galore. If you're on a James Bond theme, it'll be pushy galore, right? Well, I'm kind of a big deal. I have many leather-bound books in my studio. Just kidding. But we will get to some calls here in a second. I want you to know that this show is for you. This show was designed for the man in America, and I'm on the man's side. I see you assaulted every day, the media, by the legal class, by the so-called elites, by the women. It's the dumb thoughts out there. Some of the dumb whores giving guys hell. What you guys put up with is amazing to me. Because I'm there, I can't help but hear your conversation. Your wife or your biatch talks to damn loud at the restaurant or the food court or in the movie theater. I hear every word. I get it. When you're a young man on the make, you got to put up with it, if you know what I mean. But My point of this show is that you guys need to get a backbone in the spine. What happens to you over time, Jets? As many of you already know this, I'm telling you nothing that you don't already know. But to those that don't know, your BS level, I call it, my BS meter in my brain is very hypersensitive with every seasoned age of a man. In other words, you'll put up with a lot less BS from a woman at age 40 than you will 20. And even less, possibly at age 50 or 60 when you get there. You just put up with less because you've heard all the stories, you've heard all the games, and you will take no more. Like Michael Corleone said in the movie The Godfather, my answer to you is nothing, absolutely nothing. And with that, let's get to American Scotch in Wyoming. Welcome to the Von Wien Show and the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. How are you doing, American Scotch?
I'm good, man. I love that scene. I love that scene when he's in Reno with that senator.
My answer to you, Senator, is nothing. I can give it to you now. Love that.
God. You know,
that's how I would be.
It's funny. Just look at the characters of just even like fiction movies like The Godfather. Mm-hmm. And the characters and the masculinity of what they used to be, Vaughn. I mean, this is not accidental. You look at these so-called leading men today. I mean, Justin Timberlake. You know, you got Bieber making appearances on talk shows, and women are going crazy. I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible the feminization of this world, the divine feminine that all these people worship and love. You know, Mother Earth, environmentalism, it all comes from the same thing. Make no mistake about it. The only religion that really, in its real roots, that is masculine and worships the masculinity is, you know, Odin and Norse mythology, Norse paganism. That kind of society, and that was Vikings and you know, very northern European men, hardcore life. You have to be to live in that climate. But now, 3,000 years later, now you've got gay parades, drag queen story hour, men wanting to be women. I mean, it's just incredible. It's just go to the movies now. I mean, Top Gun. I love the movie. It's a great movie. Who is the leading man? What is he, 4'5"? Tom Cruise is not even 5 foot tall, barely. And
I know.
He is the macho man of that movie. I mean, my God.
They know how to film him and make him look almost 5 feet 10. It's all camera angle. Right.
Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, I was posting quite a bit in Gab for the audience, because I know this subject is going to be a big one tonight. But, you know, if I had to be starting over like a lot of these young guys are today in the dating scene, and one thing that I wish that somebody would have pulled me aside and said, look, here's the deal. You know, my dad did a pretty good job, but he was kind of a hands-off man, didn't really get engaged. But one thing guys got to understand, and I see this mistake all the time, especially when you're watching the rom-coms and the pop culture bullshit coming out of Hollywood, where guys are asking girls the advice of what to do about the girl he likes, like their girlfriends or their sisters or their mothers. Guys, don't ever, if you hear one thing that I ever say, whether it's the Tuesday show like tonight or the political rants on Thursdays, you never ask a woman their opinion on what to say to another woman, ever. Don't ever do that. It's the biggest mistake I see men make all the time. They'll ask their girlfriends, their BFFs, the girls they've known since they were kids, they have no interest in them, or even an ex-girlfriend. I mean, that's absolutely ridiculous. Don't ask them their opinion. Don't ask your mother. Don't ask your sister. Now, your mom's probably on your side the most, but they don't even understand each other. How are they going to tell you P's and Q's and ins and outs of a woman that you're interested in from a man's point of view. They're going to look at it from a woman's point of view. They're going to get you to be there
always
on the friend zone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
They're never going to tell you the right things to get him into the sack. They're never going to tell you the right things to be dominant.
Oh,
in the
God,
relationship.
No.
Never.
No.
Never. Now, some moms may be cool about that.
Yeah, they'll tell you where to buy flowers, where to buy jewelry, how to make her happy.
Oh, please.
You know, laying some pipe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like we're
trying to court them in the days of
Right.
It doesn't work that way anymore.
A young man wants to get some action. He wants some action. Some physical communication, I used to tell that to my girlfriend. She would always laugh and snicker. I go, I need some physical communication, Caliano style. Okay, I'll come over. Thank you. I'll pour you a shot. Now shut up. Right.
Yeah. And if you're,
that
if
was,
you're,
that's
if
how
you're watching,
would go.
Yeah, if you're watching movies and if you're listening to a lot of these girlfriends of yours or family members, female family members, they're giving you advice like you're courting the girl like it's the 50s and you're Cary Grant and it's Grace Kelly. It doesn't work that way anymore. These women are not wired for that anymore. And I was just – all those clips I put up tonight, you know, in addition to your show, which right now is once per month, and hopefully you'll increase that. Because honestly, I was telling a buddy of mine tonight, I said, I think Vaughn – will get greater growth and more of a reception by increasing the Tuesday broadcast than even he has on his Thursday. Because this subject is everyday, every person material and concerns, and it's getting worse.
Absolutely.
Every day.
I agree. I've thought about doing that. I thought about ramping this show up. We're just looking for a good sponsor.
Yep.
And we can do that.
And it's,
we need one more. We need a good sponsor to carry us through.
I think
if you know anybody, send them over to me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I tell the audience, you know, guys like you, this podcast, the whatever podcast, you see the clips of it on YouTube, and you can see the full episodes on YouTube. These type of shows will give you a real clear snapshot of what is creeping around on the dating scene out there. And, man, I'm telling you, guys, it is scary. It is scary the kind of body count these women are racking up by the time they're 25. By the time they're 30, they've been jumping in and out of bed with men for over 10 years. By 25 years old, 15, 14 is when they're starting up, and that's no big deal.
Oh, yeah.
That's no big
deal.
She'll
have 200 guys under her belt in no time. 150 is very common now for a college girl. At least 100, 80 to 100.
At least.
And if they say, if they lie about that, we all know that they're lying. Women, there's an old saying, whatever the woman tells you, like say she says, well, I've only had like 15 guys divide, you know, you take the number she says and you times it now by 10. It's probably 150 guys.
At least.
If a man tells you, he's had 100 women. You probably will need to divide by 2 or more because guys will inflate. So the guys probably had 30 to 50 girls max, or not even that. You know what? Still, the stats are amazing, Scotch, that the typical American man before age marriage, and these are hard to believe, but I do believe them on one level, has like 8 to 10 sexual liaisons, and they say a girl has got about 5 to 7. What are your thoughts on those numbers? I mean, I keep hearing in these national statistics. That's what I say. Who are they interviewing?
No.
You know?
No. And that's another minefield. I'm not saying that guys are just dealing with asking for advice from mom or sister or their good girlfriends. Anything you're reading about statistics like that is absolute BS, total BS. I'm telling you from an urban standpoint. I don't live in a small rural country town, but the women are only limited by their opportunities there because word gets around and they don't have that many chances to rack up the body count in a small town of 20,000 or less. When you're living in a big city like you in Phoenix or nearby Denver for me, or Seattle, or Miami, or Dallas. I mean, my God, these girls, like I said, by the time they're 30 years old, Most of them have gone through college. They've had major financial struggles. The likelihood of them dancing on a stripper pole is extremely high anymore. And 30 years ago, that was absolutely, that was a real bad girl thing to do, and most girls just wouldn't go there. Nowadays, dancing as a stripper is a total badge of honor to these women. They don't care. They think it's great.
It is.
They think it's fantastic.
They think it's great.
When you and I were in college, being a Hooters girl was kind of a racy thing, you know?
Oh, what?
But now.
Oh, she's a Hooters girl.
Not,
ooh.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Nothing now.
She's. Yeah, and now they've all gone to the strip pole, and a lot of them are just they're on Backpage, they're on OnlyFans,
mm-hmm.
and they're prostitutes, and now they're making money for being immoral. So they're being
well, yeah, because they have found that the guys will pay, and the
yep.
whole hookup scene has changed. Where it used to be, you
yep.
would go to a bar back in my day, which wasn't that long
yep.
ago. I went to bars as a young stud. To meet women, you would go out. There was no
yep.
social media. This is. I mean, I'm still a young guy, but my point is, it's pre-2000 when the internet really
yes.
came out. But before that, in the 90s, you went to bars.
Yes. Absolutely.
In my college years, 80s, late 80s, you
absolutely.
Went to the bars and clubs. A man had to go out to meet women and to procure women. But now there's so many simps on the internet that stay at home in their one bedroom studio apartment, and they go on to OnlyFans and they masturbate or they go crazy and they give these women $5, $10, $20. So the pretty girls can stay in their apartments in Phoenix, in Denver, in Seattle, and spread and never have sex, but collect $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 a night.
Yep.
That's what's going on. And they're,
that's exactly
these women are
going
not on. Going out. Unless they have a date, who, again, is paying for everything, her meals,
yep.
her drinks. And by the way, guys, as you know, these women can drink like a fish.
Oh, yeah.
God.
Oh, yeah. And I was going to say that number you quoted,
yeah.
when you're dealing with a girl that you think you have to multiply by 10, I'll tell guys out there right now, if you're you know, messing around with a girl who is a really good-looking chick, I'd say about an 8 or above, and she's 28 or below, and she's got an OnlyFans, you're dealing with a woman that very easily has got a 300-plus body count. Easy. No problem. No problem.
Oh, yeah.
And the chances of you catching a disease are extremely high. The chances of you not only catching a disease, but keeping her interest is next to zero. And this is true with men, too. And this is true with men, too. The more sex you have and the more you get around, the less sex means, and that's for guys too. I mean, you just get numb.
That's right.
To the whole, this is the whole act of it. I'm all about trying to get as many girls as a guy can. I think it's good for a man to get confidence
mm-hmm.
and all. But you know, 40, 50, 60 women, yeah, that's no problem. But you start getting into like Julio Iglesias territory, you're at 200, 300 women. You don't know how to have a relationship. I mean, in all honesty, why would you settle down? Because you're having that much sex, who the hell would settle down? Come on now. You know?
Come on.
There's a point where it's just a little too much of a good thing. And for women, I'm sorry, man. This whole thing where girls think they can do whatever guys can do, no, you can't. And if you're doing that, it's going to make you ill. It's going to make you physically sick with disease. It's going to make you mentally absolutely garbage. And it's an irretrievable psyche at one point. These women, when they sleep around like this, I've watched it happen. When I manage clubs,
mm-hmm.
work these clubs, strip clubs, nightclubs, these girls their soul is gone after a while when they
yeah.
sleep around that much. It's a real problem. It really is.
It really is. It really is. Yeah, the men can handle it. And most men at some point, the guys will. This is what I love, Scott. I want to get your opinion on this. Guys, like a big game. Oh, I'll never get married. I'm going to be a bachelor and blah, blah, blah. I'm so rough and tough and whatever and rugged. And a year later, I see the guy, he's married or he's pushing a baby cart. Guys talk a big game. And I tell guys, look, a lot of you guys are not cut out for the bachelor life. My mom had a great quote. I'm going to tell the audience, tell a few friends of mine, it's true. It's a lot easier in some ways in this society for a man to get married. Why? Because nobody thinks you're gay, for example. Nobody thinks you're a psychotic problem or something crazy. You blend into society much better. It is a fact that if you're married in corporate America, you tend to go up the corporate ladder with more pay and benefits. Because most of the time, your bosses are married. That may have changed somewhat now, but it's still pretty prevalent. It keeps you out of trouble in the sense that you got a spouse, so you aren't in the HR office talking about the latest, you know, sexual harassment, you know, suitor allegation. So in some ways, it's easier for a man to go down that path. Not that I recommend it. I do not recommend marriage, but I always tell guys, if you find the right girl, it could be a good thing for some guys. But it depends on the man. But my point in saying that is I've noticed that a lot, that a guy's talking big game. Within 2 or 3 years, they're married. They're in the suburbs. 1 or 2 babies are coming. What are your thoughts on that, Scotch?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've thought a lot about this because I've watched, you know, a lot of my friends. I've watched my sisters. I watched my own life track. I've noticed that in modern day America from about 1990 until now, you know, people have been taught, have fun, stay single, sleep around, don't really get all that tied down. But by the time they get into their like 27, 28, there's a phenomenon I've seen it with many, many people. And they start looking around like, I don't want to date anymore. I'm tired of this. I want to settle down. They want the white picket fence. They want the real job. They don't want to work in the club or the bartending job. They want to go get a job at the medical billing cubicle like Neo was in The Matrix. They want to wear a suit and tie. They want to have the wife. They don't want to be out on the scene. And they all get married. They rush to go get married because they feel like they're panicking, like they're failing by the time they hit 30. If they don't have a ring on their finger and a real job and a wife and a home, they feel they failed. And they all rush into it. And I swear to God, I mean, the average marriage I see is low end, lasts 3 to 6 months, and at the top end is maybe 3 years. And that's it. And at that point, it just comes apart. The man and the woman look at each other. What did we do this for? This is not fun. We used to have all this fun. We used to attack each other. You're bored with me. I'm bored with you. You're always looking at other girls. I catch you looking at other guys. There's boredom, and it's the pop culture is incessant about cheating for both of them, both of the wife and the husband. They turn on the TV, Desperate Housewives, you know, the Friends episodes with Aniston and Joey, and they're all banging each other. I mean, it's just sick. It's just a sick world, man. So, yeah, do I – am I against most people? Probably, yeah. Am I completely against it? No. There are instances it can work. But like you just described, like, you know, before you and I, we were really in our, you know, in the body count territory from our late teens until early 30s, we didn't have internet apps. You had to go to a bar. And I tell people this to this day.
Yeah.
Going to a bar is a far more successful way to meet a long-term partner than any of this internet nonsense. And I've seen that proven. I've seen both of my sisters on those apps, and they have gone through guy after guy after guy after guy and to no success. Whereas before, you got to go meet somebody at a bar. You look at them in the eye. You get a physical vibe. You get a mental vibe.
That's right.
You get a real shot of them physically and mentally, their voice. The whole thing, is the chemistry really there?
The whole package.
You can't do that. You can't do that over OkCupid. You can't do that over Instagram, instant message. But these kids, they look at going to a bar. That's like dinosaur shit. That's like using Facebook. They laugh at it. They think that's
dorky
as hell. And it's just fascinating how it's just so different now and how unsuccessful it is for most of these people in these age groups, and they kind of are like just – they're so battered by the time they're in their mid-30s. And, I mean, let's face it. When a woman's been partying like this for 20 years, by the time she's 35, she's looking like she's near 50. I mean, it's not good.
Yeah. And a woman's got that last spurt, Scotch, that – yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, that one last thing I was going to say. Then they turn into the angry lesbian that we all talk about on Thursday nights with the colored hair that voted for Biden. I'm serious.
Right.
I mean, that's because now they're bitter and angry. Nobody wants to bang them, but they can go bang their girlfriends in the locker room when they're playing YMCA weekend volleyball. I mean, I tell you.
Oh, sure.
I tell you every time, the Thursday and Tuesday night broadcasts are so synergistic. It blows me away.
They are.
It really does.
They are, man. Because this is what I call my low-tech fun show, and that's more like the high-tech geopolitical higher strata political republic show on Thursdays. But I agree with you on many points that we may ramp up the Tuesday show. I'm getting a lot of good feedback off of it. When I first put it out there, I'll be honest with you, I knew that there wouldn't be much interest because the men have been brainwashed not to listen to this kind of a show. They've been told, oh, that's evil, that's bad, that's the, or the word on Gab and other sites is, oh, that's a degenerate show, degenerate. They might like me, so like, some guys go, I like you on Thursdays, but I don't like that other show that you do, because these guys are overly serious, and all they want to talk about is revolution and, you know, geopolitics, and January 6th, right? And so I go, guys, you can't. No wonder you're not getting laid, okay?
Yeah.
No wonder you don't have a girlfriend. Lincoln brought it up on my Thursday show where he says, I talked to all these fat guys in Missouri that are nice guys, and I see them at the gas station or whatever, but a lot of guys he said he was talking to are not getting any action, don't have a girlfriend, no wife material on the horizon because they're a little too serious in the sense that it's good to be serious as a young man, absolutely. Absolutely. But you got to have a part of your mind where it's the happy warrior. And that's where this show comes in, where we talk about things with people, what they really care about, what they're really thinking about. It's personal relationships with the opposite sex.
Yeah.
That's what everyone's really concerned about. Yeah, we're concerned about China and geopolitics and Taiwan, maybe a few days a week or a few hours, you know, or the national debt. But after that show is over, people go right back to what's going on in their personal life, right? They go back to social media after my show. See how many likes I've got, how many girls have hit on me, how many responses have I got for my 200 emails that I sent last week, literally. And I go, it's a vicious cycle revolving door. But, Scotch, always good to talk to you, man. What are your final thoughts to The Bachelor in America tonight?
Well, just to say the same thing you did. I mean, I find it surprising that guys don't pay more attention to this kind of the microcosm of this show versus the macro of the Thursday show. To me, when I talk to you and pay attention to your posts and we read each other's posts about Thursday political stuff, it's all about social engineering. Now, whether or not this is about the Wuhan virus or the destruction of Detroit, NAFTA, USMCA, free trade, you know, whether or not the earth is flat, all the scandals and the theories coming out of the black ops and the military, it's the same thing. What do you think they've done to the personal levels of Americans to destroy the fabric of society than what they've done beautifully with feminism and LGBTQ and the rise of all these black commercials and this push on gangster hip-hop when you and I were just coming out of college? Came out of nowhere. I mean, 2 years before that, we were listening to MC Hammer.
It was engineered to hit the streets.
Yeah.
It was engineered to hit the streets. Yeah.
Absolutely, and it created, and there's been videos of that where guys said they were approached by radio executives or record executives.
That's right.
That we want to push this gangster rap. We have jails to fill, people. It was literally a mission, and that is how has gangster rap affected the women that we're all bitching about all the time today? Vaughn, my God.
Oh.
Think about it.
Well, women all want to date the average. Women love it.
There you go.
It makes them hot. Women love the thug, the ghetto thug. It's now what the sexual, it's their sexual appetite. It's now presented as, if you aren't with a thug or a guy that's going to prison or been out of prison, then he's not a real man. He's not real studly. And a lot of women now have been conditioned to think that way. It's amazing, Scotch.
Absolutely. God. Absolutely right on. But, yep, I hope to help you, you get this on more often than once a month. You bet.
I'm going to. That's the plan. I appreciate you, man, and your support. We'll talk to you on Thursday for sure.
Sounds
good.
Scotch.
Thanks, sir.
Have a
great night. You bet. It's American Scotch from Wyoming. Always a great call from him. Love talking to the guy. And we'll get the Gladiator on next, but I want you all to get a cocktail. And let's all let that conversation that me and Scotch had sink in deep. There's so many things that we touched on just right there. You know, the American woman, is she a tatted up whore with 20 piercings, 30 tattoos, going on 35, can't wait to get more. Well, the girl I knew last fall had a few on her neck, and she told me, and I prefer them young, about 25 to 30. She goes, I want to get some more tattoos. And I go, that sounds wonderful. Now, she's not wife material, which is fun in the right way, in small doses. I go, good for you. Each one costs her a lot of money, right? $200, $300, $400, $500. These girls are always broke. They have no skills. I told you guys before, ask the woman, what do you bring to the table other than what you're sitting down on? Literally. What else do you bring to the table? Honey bun, if her answer is nothing, well, it's a red flag. Guys, I'll tell you a little secret. My dad told me it's true. When you're looking for a woman, a girlfriend, or especially a wife, you want to get a healthy girl. Healthy, healthy, healthy. I see these guys, they're with these not really old women at all. 35, 40, maybe 42, 45. She's already walked with a limp, or God forbid, the guy, she can't walk that quickly. She's gained 100 pounds. Now, I like voluptuous, but not like that. That's just disgusting. That's you know, when your girlfriend starts to look like a zoo animal, check out fast, okay? I like him curvy, Charlie's Angel style. But I see these young guys with these women, they're hacking, they're coughing. They take out their pill bottles at the restaurant table next to me. I was down there with a buddy flew into town, a red lobster. She's got 5 freaking pill bottles right there. How old is she, about 32? She's already got that going. These women got massive health problems. And guess what, guys? You'd be paying the bill. Legally, your contract of marriage indicates that you will. And if you don't, a court-appointed judge will force you to pay. The banks will force you to pay. The doctors will force you to pay. Don't marry these unhealthy women. Have fun with them, pat them on the head, send them home, and say next. Get the concept of next in your brain. But you guys put up with so much stuff that I just cringe at. I laugh at, to be honest. And I feel sorry for you. But that's the best you can do? Okay. It's the best you can do. That's normally that used to be reserved for older men, like in their 60s or 70s with a much older female. Now I see it 30, 40 years younger. You guys should be hiking Camelback Mountain, speed biking, mountain biking, man. Get a motorcycle. Play some sports. Get fit. Work out the gym. Now, what's some guy that feels he can't get anything better? He's in love with a woman who's just a medical mess. And that is extremely commonplace in the millennial and Generation Z coming up. I see it all the time. Sad but true. But that's why we have the Von Wien Show, to put a big spotlight on these things. They used to call her the 20th Century Fox. Let's find those girls. We know they're out there. We have the technology.
Well, she's fashionably lean, and she's fashionably late. She'll never rank a scene, she'll never break a day. But she's no drag, just watch the way she walks. She's a 20th century spark. She's a 20th century spark. No bills, no bills, no ruin years, no clock. She's the lady who waves, sends her mindless school, it never hesitates. She won't waste time on elementary talk, 'cause she's a 20th century fox. She's a 20th century fox. Got the world locked up inside a plastic box. She's a 20th century fox, baby. 20th century fox, baby. 20th century fox. She's a 20th century fox.
By the Doors, Jim Morrison, The Doors, 20th Century Fox. Great song, great lyrics, love that. Well, on this show, like my dad used to tell me, guys, find a healthy girl and you want a smart girl, but you don't want a PhD. How much about the girl that goes, I've got 5 degrees. I used to go to these speed dating things called Date Switch here in Feast for just entertainment. And the women would, some of them would go, I have 4 master's degrees and I'm working on my doctorate. And I'm thinking, that's why you're still single. What? I can't believe you said that. I go, well, yeah, that's why you're still single. I go, no guy wants to marry a brain surgeon, to be honest. Well, there's always one guy that will marry the brain surgeon. Personally, it's a smart move because he's making tons of money, but most brain surgeons aren't that hot. Anyway, that beside the point. These women think they used to impress guys with how many degrees they have. I don't give a rat's ass how many degrees you have. I don't care about your degrees. We're here for tits and ass and a good time. Don't care about your degrees. You want a girl that's smart. You want a girl with a bachelor's degree, max. Really, no more than a bachelor's degree. And really, an associate's degree is really better because she has some college, post-high school, not a lot. You also want a girl who's pretty, who wants to be on a man's arm. And she's motivated by being on a man's arm. It's a good sign. You want a girl who likes men. The men today, you've got to compete against the lesbians at the bars and line. I saw the first signs of it in my bar crawling years in Dallas when I came to Phoenix Scottsdale back in the mid-90s. I walk into a pretty girl, and then her ugly, hideous friend would go, she's my girlfriend. She was a big lesbo butch. She's my girlfriend. Back off, buddy. Now say, who the hell are you? I'm her girlfriend or boyfriend or whatever. The gender queer thing, whatever. I would just shrug and laugh as I drank my beer and walked away. I thought, freaks, just female freaks. And I got a kick out of it. But I would drive home and go, man, I'm noticing this more and more. I've seen in my entire life. A lot of women want your money, boys. And gentlemen, they don't want you. They want what you got. And not in the bedroom. They want your money. They want you to buy them drinks, in other words. They want you to buy them appetizers. Oh, they'll flirt with you. They'll talk to you. If that makes you happy, fine. To me, it's a waste of time, effort, and money. Again, per the monologue, you're wasting your time. You're spinning your wheels. A lot of you guys, too, you talk to women overseas. I know you do. 10,000 miles away, China, Thailand. Are you going to China and Thailand? I seriously doubt it. China's a communist country. They hate Americans. You guys don't probably have a pot to piss in. Many of you don't. You can barely afford to get across the country. You're talking to girls in Venezuela, which they are hot. Don't get me wrong. They had a communist revolution in Venezuela. That's why they're talking to you. I will tell you this spiel. Women hate me because I'm going to tell you what's really motivating them is money in most parts of the world. Nothing's ever changed since the caveman days. It's all of our technology, all this BS, social media. You talk to women in your backyard. I'm telling you to focus on women in your backyard first, especially when you're younger. If you just work at it, you might get something. You might even find a girlfriend or a wife. But if you're really striking out and you're trying everything in the book and you're a disciple on my show and you're listening in, doing some of your own research, and, you know, I tell guys at some point, this country more and more and more is pushing men out to live in foreign countries. Once you get some money together, might sell a house or two, get some equity, cash out, move to South America, move to Central America. Expat communities thrive there. Panama, Costa Rica, Ecuador, Argentina, Peru. You guys might thrive there. Eastern Europe is still good. Asia can be dangerous. It's very far away. I've heard mixed results on Asia. Thailand seems to be the best. And the rising place overseas is Vietnam. Even though it's a communist country, they're nothing like China. They're like communism light after the Vietnam War. And by the way, Ho Chi Minh City, I will predict it now, and Vietnam will be the new world's factory. They are stealing business from China left and right. Now, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if China invades them in the future because they're so angry about it. China's imploding, having massive unemployment and massive problems, and Vietnam is quietly thriving. But it's a good place, I've heard, for Americans. They will cater to you. Again, this country is only good for some men. Some men thrive here. I see a few TV anchors here in the mornings who go not named, but I watch a few shows. And they talk about their personal lives. And some of these guys, they got a man in shade. $1 million a year salary. Big TV anchor. Beautiful wife. 2, 3, 4 kids. Living large. Everyone's friend and no one's enemy. Wow. What a great way to be. But only a few guys can attain that. Many guys are just dumb lucky. And there's some of you guys, you have that, what the French call the Je ne sais quoi, which stands for you got that certain something that American women just like. And some of you guys are just lucky bastards. That's a great place to be. Be the lucky bastard. But some of you guys are not going to be successful, and that's okay. Then maybe you'll have the James Bond 007 life of adventure. So start planning ahead. If you're striking out in America, don't kill yourself. Don't do crazy things. Don't make crazy, stupid, irreversible decisions. No. God's telling you, you're going to be happier somewhere else. Plan accordingly. So your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to think outside the box and go, I'm not doing so well here with work or the ladies. I'm going to work 2 or 3 jobs for a decade, bust my ass, save my money, and get the fuck out of here. That's what I would do. Tell guys, if you're not making it here, go. Overseas, you need half the money to make it. And you can get Social Security overseas. I would try it here for 20 years and bank some cash first, because we are the best country to make money in. We're not the best country for relationships. We're not. All this BS about American women are the best that you heard back in the day. Guys just said that because they thought they were going to get in some girls' panties that a night, and they were playing along, playing the game. Oh, yeah, they're the best. Of course, as in Rome, do as the Romans do. You have to play the game. But that doesn't make it real. American women today, there are some gems out there. We have some great women. Like I told you during the monologue, they're hard to find. They get snapped up quickly. A lot of you guys have caught on to this. And I've noticed some of you guys are very shrewd bastards. And it's good for you. And you find a good girl, you put the ring on that finger real quick. Now you lock her down, don't you? You want to lock that chickie down. You don't care if it lasts 5 years or 15. You said, I'm going to get mine now. Whatever happens, happens. If you have a kid or two, look, some of you guys are afraid of being fathers. It's one of the most normal things you can do to be a father. And I don't recommend it because in today's schools are all effed up. The gay agenda is out there. The teachers are all whacked. Have you seen their TikTok videos? They're all over the place. The public school teachers have run amok, and they're psychotic. Some are satanic. Some are okay. But a lot of them are whack jobs, man. I can't imagine raising kids in this environment today, plus the cost. It's going to bankrupt you. Well, with all that, let's get to the Gladiator in North Phoenix, and we'll get his thoughts tonight about all of these wonderful topics in the Bachelor's Den tonight. Hello, Gladiator. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing
Welcome
well,
to the
doing
show.
Good. Yeah, man. I've been,
good.
Listening intently.
Yeah, some horse drama earlier in the day, and you went through some horse drama with your so-called business partner, right?
Yeah.
Those things happen. Yeah.
You know, that's why I'm a bachelor, man, because if I wasn't a bachelor, I wouldn't be able to deal with some stupid people and handle my business.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. Right.
I mean, this is
it'll pay off big, though.
Yeah, argument over a lock. I mean, you know.
I heard
I'm
it. I know.
I'm protecting mine and my business partner's interest. And it was unbelievable. I mean, like I told you, this is what I deal with. This is why I want to.
I mean,
cash everything out as soon as possible. I'm gonna go to Bachelor Heaven. Otherwise
yes.
known as Las Vegas, Nevada. Do what you want. You can make money. You can gamble. You can drink. You can find a
be
girl
a real man.
That just wants. Just find a girl that wants to have sex for the night.
Right. Which,
what happens in Vegas? They can go back to North Dakota, to their rural town, and they've only, you know, they sleep with one guy a year. Great. But I'm going to be with them for, you know, 1, 2, 3 nights, whatever. Kick them out of town.
What? Love it.
Go do my thing.
I always say,
you
Paul,
know?
I want to be that one guy per year. Let me be the one guy.
Yeah.
North
That's
Dakota, go back to Kansas, come to Vegas, be the whore we all know you wanted to be, and then go back and be Mrs. and be the church lady back in Nebraska,
yeah.
Missouri.
Yeah.
And there's some hot
okay.
women back there in the Midwest. I get it. I always say every woman's got a horse streak in her, and they want to unleash that somewhere. And Vegas is the best
Las
place
Vegas,
to unleash.
Best place to unleash it in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and ladies, it's okay. It's nothing derogatory. You've all got it. We guys know it. All we're doing is offering you a venue to showcase it. That's all.
That's right. And, you know, I got some plans for a business there. Don't need a business partner. Do my own thing. Run my own show. just, you know, you know what I'm dealing with. And, you know, luckily I had the money to make a move when I did. I needed somebody to get me into something after the pandemic. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you knew I was operating a retail location 4 days a week, popping 75 grand a year, building something. Then I was popping cash aside, and then the pandemic hit, which screwed me. And, mm-hmm. You know, but before Trump came along, you know, I was working two jobs. When he became president, I took three jobs just because I knew the money would be great. And I said, okay, I'm just going to go slowly find a place to sit in. And, you know, I learned a long time ago, this is great advice. My graduate course when I was in university, so in finance, my finance advisor, he said, you know, come to this graduate course. You're going to learn a lot more here once a week than you will, you know, getting your degree. And, you know, all these CEOs of the corporations, the CFOs, CEOs, COOs, CIOs, all the chief operating officers, all the chief executive officers, you know, my question was, how do you become a CEO of, you know, Pitney Bowes? How do you become a CIO of Cayman Industries? Like, my question was always that, and my professor allowed me to have that question, even though I was an undergraduate in a graduate class. And all the time, they said, you know, go into sales, kid, go into sales. So instead of going to Wall Street, my advisor said, hit the street for 3 or 4 or 5 years, get a street education, go into sales, get beat up, then take your finance and accounting degrees down to Wall Street. So if I can impart to the young bachelors any advice, I'm going to tell you, go into sales in some way, shape, or form, because you're always going to be employable, number one. And number two, if nothing gets sold, then nothing gets shipped, nothing gets manufactured, no raw materials get made. It just goes all the way back to the raw materials that actually up the production line get transported to the factory. The factory workers work because they make the product. Product gets boxed, got to be shipped to the warehouse. Warehouse moves it over to the whatever distribution offices. But the sales rep, the salesperson, the sales professional is the one that moves all the goods. Now, I learned that in my graduate course as an undergrad. And, you know, even though I hit the street, then went down to Wall Street anyways, brought 9 companies public, but I was a better stockbroker because I was a better salesperson on the marketing side of those IPOs as well. But it played well throughout life. I've been able to sell anything. I could start a business tomorrow and sell something that nobody else, you know, everybody else is having problems with, but you'll always be employable if you can sell something. And once you learn how to sell, all you got to do is put a new product in front of yourself to sell. I don't care if you're selling health club memberships. I don't care if you're selling mortgages. I don't care if you're selling visits to a timeshare. It does not matter what you're selling. Learn how to sell. You're always employable. And you can eventually start companies that you can – yeah, and then you can eventually start companies that you can sell for yourself, like I did. Automotive products, mortgages, security alarm systems. I mean, I've done it all after Wall Street. And, it's a great – that was great advice. I owe a lot to the finance advisor who put me in the graduate class, that I learned all that from those officers of all the corporations in the Northeast. So yeah, but you heard my drama. You know why? Now you know why I want to get out of here and go to Vegas so quickly and so fast.
I get it, man. I totally get it. Yeah. I could envision what was going down by our conversations, but when I heard it from the horse's mouth, pun intended, by the way.
Yeah.
I told you. I was like, I happened to call back folks on Paul's line, and I think he hit answer, so I heard the conversation. So no biggie, but that's business 101, you know, and his pros and cons to having a business partner. You got to put up with that guy's drama once in a while. And he was making an outrageous demand on you, is what it sounded like. I was going, what the F are you even talking about? You were the calm one. Like, I'm going, dude, chill out.
I know, Heart Attack City. And it was all because the motor vehicle department took away a truck driver's CDL license because he's on a specific drug to stop pain. It's a pain blocker because he got into a physical injury at work. So taking that medicine, he can't drive a tractor trailer truck. He can't drive that kind of vehicle. And that set him off this morning. And then he ended up at my place, and it just kind of like snowballed. And I was just like, you know, afterwards, I'm like, dude, you got to chill out. You're going to give yourself a heart attack, number one. Number two, I'm protecting our interests. Like, I'm not doing that for any other reason other than it's our interest. And, you know, you can walk under the gate, but nobody can take our asset out of the gate. You can walk under the gate, but nobody's going to take that asset outside of that gate because it's locked up like a drum, you know. So some people's children, man, they just don't get it. They think everything's a personal slight to them and not looking at the big picture, saying, yeah, that's a good idea. Why would we have everything open and unlocked and let strangers do what they want on our property? You know what I mean? So
wonderful idea. Yeah,
I'll tell you, you know, bringing it around to the Bachelor show, like advice to young guys, look, sometimes you're going to be in a situation in business, especially when you have to make a choice, is the juice worth the squeeze? Is the situation of a profitable situation worth some aggravation that you're going to go through? And that's what you got to determine. I determined yes. Like, because I know what my profit scenario is. And I need to get back to what I would have had the pandemic never happened. So I had to make that choice. Now, I also made that choice, as you know, on my personal side, to crash my expenses down to zero. And I'm literally at zero. And you know I am. It does not cost me a nickel to live where I live. So I literally have to pay for gas and food. And that's it. Gas from one location to another, and I'm 3 minutes one location to another. And the food I eat. So, you know, if you can get your expenses so low, I don't expect everybody to get to my situation. It's pretty specific. But, you know, get your expenses low so that your profit can be high in this horrible, I don't even like to say Joe Biden because it's not him making the choices, but this political climate is such a bad economic situation that you got to get your profit high, your expenses super low, sell any assets that you really don't need. You know, I'm selling my foreign sports car, but I have a big, bold, beautiful four-door truck, F-250.
Oh, that's what you need. That's your urban assault vehicle. That truck will get you from here to China.
Jesus Christ. I could literally drive it, like, up through the Yukon of Alaska, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I want to go work, if I want to go work in the gold mines of Yukon, Alaska, for the guys on Gold Rush, right, Yukon Gold on TV, I'll make it. I'll go there, and I'll start, you know, transporting on my, you know, for my trailer hitch, I'll transport everything around. So, yeah.
You drive trucks like, here's a... Yeah.
Yeah, I had to make a decision, you know, and so I did. Traded my sports car for my luxury European sports car for a big, bad truck. So, you know, again, imparting some wisdom to the younger listeners, you know, make good choices. If you got to take a risk, make it a high profitable risk for the aggravation you're going to have to deal with, and keep your expenses low. And, you know, because women will come and go. You know, women come and go very easily. I've been lucky that way. I think my parents were good looking, individuals. Hoping they imparted some of that good looks to me. I think they did. But, when I was younger, I was precocious, wanted the intelligence. Luckily, I had the IQ to get it. And then used my body to get my degrees on football fields all over the Northeastern universities. But, keep your expenses low, keep your profits high. Make good decisions, make good choices, especially in this economic structural time we find ourselves in. It's very volatile. It's very expensive to make bad choices right now. So, wishing I was a younger man now with the knowledge I knew, throughout these years and have now. But, unfortunately, as we all know, most of us have to go learn these lessons, even though somebody can tell you. Luckily, I chose very good mentors along my way. Didn't have to learn a lot of the lessons, but I'd say, it's probably typical if you're really paying attention. Half the lessons that are told to you, you go through yourself anyways. The other half of those lessons, you take those to heart and you don't have to experience the heartache that the mentors experienced. At least you can get an upper hand in life and have it be a little easier for you to navigate. Other than that, talking about what you and Scotch were talking about, here's the thing about women, no matter how many partners they've had, if they've had, 12 or 1,200, here's what I would say to that. Decide when you meet a woman what you're willing to live with. If you know she's a whore before you met her and you're okay with that, then be with her. If you know that you can't live with it and you're going to have arguments with this person no matter what, and you're going to bring up, well, you were a whore before I met you. You were with 1,200 guys before we were ever together. If you're going to use that as ammunition in your arguments with the woman, move on and find another woman. That's my advice.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
Like when I was 37, I met a 22-year-old woman who was very beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I was selling for a company before I started my corporation. Told them, it's going to be a limited time. I'm starting my company up, and I was, walking in with a buddy of mine. We were ripping a lot of money. Saw her. She was beautiful, flat-out angel face. I walked into the office and said, hey, what's a girl doing out there? This is basically a guy's thing, to go out and do. And I walked up to her because I told the manager she's coming here for training. We're going to take her training. And he goes, yeah, but you already have two guys in your truck. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's okay. She can sit in the middle. We grabbed her. She said, thank God you two grabbed me because everybody else looks like a rapist creep. And I was like, yeah, I think half of them are. And, we were in linen clothes and flip-flops and shorts, all linen, nice clothes. We were out there selling. We were marketing. We were doing the right thing. Everybody else was in, ripped jeans and sneakers and T-shirts, acting like delivery guys. We were acting like salespeople, right? And, but then we formed a bond pretty quick. And after we dated, dinner and a couple times out, I said, look, you said you were in Las Vegas before you came back to Scottsdale where your mother and your stepdad live. And she eventually told me, yeah, well, I was a hooker in Las Vegas for about a year. And I had to make a fast decision. Is this something I can live with from this moment forward? When I bring it up in an argument that I got into with her that, yeah, well, you were a hooker in Vegas, you prostitute, you know. And I knew this. See, inherently, I knew at my fraternity at Connecticut State University, I knew girls at the sororities that did way worse for a lot less, like zero, right? They did a lot worse for nothing. And I knew that we got along so well. She was freaking beautiful. I mean, she literally had a gorgeous face. I wanted to marry her and have 8 kids out of her. So kids would have been gorgeous. But I knew I wouldn't use it as ammunition. So you know what? I said to her right then, I knew girls in college that did way worse for a lot less, if not nothing. I can live with it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's move forward from here. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And I never used that against her, ever. I never brought that up, ever. She couldn't handle it mentally on her own, which eventually, like, because it got to her that she went and did that, and, you know, eventually it broke the relationship up. But I know somebody now who's in a relationship, and this woman, his wife, told him up front that she dated a lot of different minorities across the board for the previous 10 years before they met.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses that against her in every argument they have. It could be an argument over an ice cube that melted on the floor and nobody picked it up. And it'll come out.
I know this couple.
So, yeah. So I would say, you know, when I was talking to him one day, I said, listen, you knew before you even asked her to marry her, before you married her, all of these major milestones, you knew because she told you that she did this before you met her. You bring this up. You can't live with this. This is going to be the point over which you get divorced eventually. You're going to get divorced. Because he, you know, he went down this road twice before, divorced twice before. It's his third wife. He uses this in arguments. It's gonna come out so massively. Like she's, you know, tried to kick him out of the house many times. He drives her car. She has the other car. It's all in her name. The house is in her name. He's got nothing. He can get kicked out tomorrow morning, and he's on the street with no car, no nothing. And she has all of his possessions in the house.
Yeah.
No. She has all of his possessions in the house. His previous wife had all of his possessions in the house, including cars, antique cars that he bought. He only got one back out of the four. She kept everything and gave it to his former best friend, who never gave him back his stuff. I mean, this guy's let this happen before. This woman is that vicious. She will keep it all. Sell it, give it away, dump it. She won't want him to have it either. That's what happened, guys.
Yeah, don't put yourself in that position. Paul's telling you guys is a cautionary tale. It's real life. I know this couple here in Phoenix.
Right. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. I mean, he's going to get kicked out of there. He's got a gun in the house. So my prediction, which one is sad, my prediction is one of two things happens. They get into a knockdown brawl out fight. He goes off the rails because of the medicine that he's on for pain and diabetes and everything. It's not a good combination. It's like a drug cocktail. He goes off the rails, grabs the gun, and shoots her. Whether he kills her or not, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you that's probably one of the scenarios. The other scenario is she kicks him out. He doesn't go off the rails. She kicks him out with the clothes on his back, his wallet, and his phone, and says, don't ever come back, because she takes the keys to the car. It's in her name. If you drive that car, I will have you arrested for auto theft. And you know, he may call me or one other person and be like, hey, you know, I got kicked out. That's one of two scenarios. And I'm going to tell you guys, he's not the only one. There are many people, many guys probably, I would say, 20% of the married men in this country are in similar, if not the same, situations, because the man doesn't kick the woman out because the police won't let that happen. If they're married,
that's right.
I don't care if he's on title to the house. Now, she's on title to the house and he's not. So after they got married and he put this money into the house to kind of update the house, she's never put him on the title to the house. So she's never getting kicked out of that house.
Mm-hmm.
And 20% of men are in these situations. And I think it's because they don't have the guts to go it on their own, to change their circumstances if need be, like I have. You know my scenario. Again, guys,
mm-hmm.
I don't pay rent. I pay zero for frickin' rent, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I have a business running where I have clients, their assets, they're paying me to watch their assets, and they pay that rent. And the product that gets used every day up there, they cover those bills. Now, I just had the guts to say, I'm just going to do it. I'm going to take it over, and I'll get the clients afterwards, which happened, you know, within 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So I was out of pocket for a couple of $1,000s, but I had a lot of money saved anyways. So I mm-hmm. you know, again, it was something I could live with, right? Like the relationship
right.
thing. Find a woman
exactly.
that you can live with, no matter, find out her worst fault, the worst thing she ever did. Find those out, and if you can't live with those things and not bringing up as ammunition in an argument, get rid of the woman fast. Do her a favor and do yourself a favor. It's stress you don't need. It's arguments you don't need, right?
Drama
do
you
her
don't
a favor.
Need. Exactly.
Yeah. Do your both of you, do both of you a favor and don't pursue that. Just say, hey, it's been nice knowing you. Got to tell you, it's something I can't live with. I would use it against you. I don't want to do that to you. Move on. Go find a guy that can live with that. And maybe
right.
you did something. And tell. When I meet somebody, I tell everybody the worst thing I ever did.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be able to live with that. You know, if they can't, I
right.
want them to tell me they can't live. Now, it's not that my things are so bad. I really haven't done anything that bad. You know, just besides burn both candles at both ends. But I always tell them what I believe they might think the worst thing about me is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which, and again, you know my history. I always tell women if I'm with them, you know, for about 30 days, I say, look, you may look down upon this. It depends on how people view it. But for 3 years, I was really pursuing on every 3 months in Arizona and over in Nevada to be a professional poker player. I just didn't have a big enough bankroll. I had to make a choice. I couldn't handle the swings. So I came back and, you know, got back into a career and said, I got to go back with a bigger bankroll that I don't have to worry about the swings. So I can spend that, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 year period to be able to amass enough victories over the financial
mm-hmm.
swings that the game naturally has. And some people are like,
right.
oh, well, you know, so you're telling me you're going to be a professional gambler and we're never going to have any money. Well, no, that's not what I said. But if you can't live with that, I understand.
Right. Exactly. Good points,
you know,
man.
Because it's hard.
Good points. Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. Is a very good way to approach. You can size them up. They can size you up, and you can move on
right.
down the road. Paul, great, great call, man. Appreciate it. We'll talk more
yeah,
on
man.
Thursday night. Okay. Thanks,
you
sir.
You got it, brother. All right, man.
That's awesome. You bet. The Gladiator. Well, the Gladiator has now left the building. Words of wisdom there. And I say, you've got another thing coming, America.
I'm
Gosh, love that song by Judas Priest. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are going on. Folks, on this show, you'll hear a lot of good callers and a lot of good personal stories. We could talk for hours and days on these things, and there's so many layers to the onion, right? And it's just amazing, you know? I mean, there's so many good stories that are out there. This show, we may ramp it up more. If you're out there, if you like what you hear, we're looking for a good, solid sponsor. I don't care what you sell. Maybe you sell widgets. Maybe you own a strip club in Vegas. Maybe you are a card shark. Maybe you own a factory. You own a restaurant or bar. We love it all. Contact me, fondweeandshow@gmail.com, or chime in with your perspectives. Trolls are never accepted. We'll block you if you're a troll. But we want the show to grow and do well. And I think it will. I think it's doing very, very well. And you're all part of it. This show, again, the first Tuesday of every month. We're doing 12 shows a year. We might do two shows a month, be 24. We can get one more sponsor. We'll probably do a show every Tuesday night on this kind of stuff. Relationships, what you really care about. Oh, I know you guys will talk big about, as we all do, as we all should, about the economy and the markets and war and peace. That's our heavy-hitting Thursday show. That takes a different kind of a mindset to wrap your head around those concepts. But this show is from the blue-collar guy to the white-collar guy and the college grad and the frat boy, everything in between. This show affects everybody. That's why I love it.
Of all the gin joints in all the world, and she had to walk into the one I was occupying, I was sitting there listening to Vaughn on the radio, you know, the Vaughn Weehunt show. Well, she came in and sat down, and I told the bartender, let's give her a drink, run a tab on my fare. She sat down, looked right at me. She was gorgeous. I took a drag off my lucky strike and blew it the other way. I sure as hell wasn't going to blow it in her face. She was amazing. I said, you mind, honey? I'm right in the middle of a show here listening to it. She said, no problem. She joined in. We listened to Vaughn Weehunt's show together. It was quite a time.
The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy, Back to the Future, Past, Present, and Future, The Retro Bachelor. We do it all on this show. We do it all. You hear a little bit of new music, some retro music. We have a wide audience. I've got Generation Z, the Baby Boomer, to entertain each week on both shows, by the way.
The minute you walked in the joint, I could see you were a man of distinction, a real big spender. Good looking, so refined. I figured that you're the Muriel, the God-smoking kind. So let me get right to the point. You're right in style when you're in Muriel's company. Hey, big spender, spend a little dime with me. Join the Muriel Miles crowd. Pick one up and smoke it sometime.
Yeah, pick it up and smoke it sometime, Mr. America. Love it. Well, we don't want to be a big spender on the first date. I play music sometimes to accentuate the next talking point, if you, many of you have noticed that. I love lyrics and songs. I love the beat, too. Love it. Love the guitar riffs. Organ solos, the drums. The lead singers of cool bands are striking, like lions in the night. But when you first meet a chick-a-rooney, meet her out, just meet her. That's what I try to do. It's okay, like it's kind of like Now, I hate to equate dating women to cars, but I will. During college, I sold cars. Paul's talking about sales. I've sold my entire life. I used to sell cars. I used to go around the campus and at Purdue and sell spring break packages and talk to fraternities and dorm guys. And I sold so many trips. I got a free trip for 2 years in a row to Fort Lauderdale Beach Hotel, where I used to party at. And went there in 87 and in 88. And I would go around campus and sell everything. And to me, it was a great way. Look, guys, I'll tell you a little secret. Really get down the nitty-gritty here. If you want to meet chicks, go into sales, marketing, be the front guy. That way you're pressing the flesh like a politician. You're meeting the people. Get out there. It's a great opening line. Any cute girl, I see a cute girl, that would go, hey, I'm selling a spring break package. What's your name? Oh, I'm Jamie. Well, hello, Jamie. Do you like Florida? Oh, I love Florida. Start talking to her about the beach. Get her number. Bada boom, bada bing. You might get a sale, but there's more than one way to get a sale. My point is, I thought it was a great way to meet girls. Great way to meet people that were connected on the university, too. Helped out your collegiate career, right? But I got into hotels. They put me in food and beverage. I was a young food and beverage director out of college with Marriott and Holiday Inn. And I was always doing their sales blitzes. I would be doing that with the marketing team. We'd go into corporations with a suit and a tie and meet the big shots about their upcoming banquet and things of that nature. We'd sell the contracts and do the spiel there. And I used to work the DFW Marriott lobby back in the day. I was the young whippersnapper in my black pinstripe mafioso suit, red shirt, and dark tie, walking around talking to people and having a good time marketing the hotel. And then I'd work the outlets. But there's all kind of ways. Sales is a big, big part of life. And like Paul said, nothing moves unless it's bought and sold. But sales, get that into your resume somewhere. Today I sell differently. I work for a client plus the radio job. I'm a consultant. But it's all good. Get that experience. It's all out there. You know that movie Scarface, which I talked about in the early part of the monologue, where you see Al Pacino, the great actor, right? I love it when he looks up at the sky and he sees that Goodyear blimp broadcasting the slogan, "The world is yours." And it is, my friends. On these past shows, we talked about all kinds of themes. No money and no honey, the cautionary tale that you've heard on many calls, the attorneys on billboards, coast to coast, begging you to get divorced. You're like vultures. They want to carve up your estate. Women controlling the thermostat on a funny level at your house. The honey-do list, which you married guys get sucked into, and we don't. The yelling, the noise pollution inside the home, or even inside your car when you're driving around town. Is your biatch, is she just yelling and screaming? Or is she a good wife who listens to you and who tries to, smooth things over? Is she working with you or against you guys? That's the crux of this show. If you haven't caught on yet, is your woman working with you or against you? If she's working against you, drop her. It's like in a New York second, get rid of her. Next, bring in the next one. If she's working with you, then work with her. It's a two-way street. Takes two to tango. Is any place safe in America for the American male? A man just wants some damn peace and quiet once in a while. That's why, as a boy, I told you, I used to bike around, and there in Sacramento, I always noticed that the men there were always in their garage, backyard. It was peaceful and quiet, and they were away from the wife for the precious couple of hours before dinner or after dinner before she'd come out. That was a man's quiet time. The kids were gone or in bed or inside playing board games or something or watching a movie. Back then it was VHS. Those VHS tapes, those big, big tapes. Oh, yeah. You know, there's all these things that I've noticed coming up. You're in a legal contract with a fickle, emotional American woman who, in my view, today is a terrible business partner. There's very few solid women left in America today. The average American woman wants you to wine her and dine her, give her money while she gives you orders. No way for a man to live. Now, men put up with it. I get it. I understand if they want children. A lot of men want a son. They want a couple of kids. So if you're in that boat, you find the best one you can. You bite your lip for 20 years. Suck it up, buddy, because you want those kids. And I get it. I get it. Biological children of your own, by the way. You don't want to raise some other guy's kids. You want your own kids, your own gene pool, as you should. Rightfully so, as they say. But if you don't get married, it's a different road. I call it the yellow brick road, full of gold. As the game show says in Hollywood, it's full of cash and prizes. Cash and prizes and pretty girls spinning those letters on the game show stage. Yeah, it's more fun. It's more festive. Every room in the house is yours, gents. Every closet is yours. Every inch of your garage for your motorcycles, your toys is yours. Your man cave, my God, develop it. So I get why guys want to, be a monk, or why they want to and live on air, or live as cheap as you can. And I also get guys that want to live and want to have some space. In my world, I had roommates my entire life. I love people. I had roommates in college and in the fraternity. And then I went off campus. And once I got off campus, I had my own place in the basement of a sorority house for 2 years. Last 2 years at Purdue, loved it. Talk about the revolving door with women. And we used to party. Oh, my God. Incredible parties. Love it. Grill out with the boys and have some beers. Good times in the Midwest. Tell you guys this before, a lot of you guys have written me, and I'll tell you again, I love Zillow, one of my favorite websites. I love looking up real estate around the country. And you can still go to the Midwest today, where a lot of good schools are. No, they aren't as fancy as maybe, the California schools, et cetera. But good, solid colleges. You know, you got Notre Dame out there, you got University of Chicago, you got Purdue, you got a lot of good schools. University of Indiana. Indiana, by the way, is a great state in the Midwest. The houses are going for $120, $130, $150. Out in the West where I'm at, they're $450. Your average home now is $500,000. These homes sold for a decade ago for about $180, $150. They're now $500,000. A lot of you guys can't afford it, and you're not going to afford it. Fiat currency is losing value. So guess what, boys? It takes more and more dollars to buy the same house. That's the one thing your economics professor didn't tell you, did they? So I'm telling you, some of you guys, you might want to think about relocation to the Midwest. I think the chicks are better. The women are more wholesome. They're more natural. A lot of beauty's back there. And back there, you can get a girlfriend, I think, a lot easier than I think in the big cities now. We have tons of competition. You got guys that have millions of dollars, trust fund dudes with all they do is work out because they're not working like the rest of us. No wonder they have six-pack abs for 30, 40 years. All they do is work out and live in their McMansion, right? While you're slaving away 50, 60, 70 hours a week You don't have time to go work out 4 hours a day, unless you're insane, but some guys do. Look, it's all about what you want, like what you desire, what you are willing to put up with. I've always viewed life as a game. It's a game show. It is. There's the audience. There's the stage. There's the game. Cash and prizes if you win. It's not about what you accumulate. It is about the journey. It's about your destination. Get out of life what you want. If you're successful in America, then by God, you stay in America. If you're not successful here after 10, 15, 20 years, then get out. Go somewhere else where you're wanted. And let me tell you, in many of the foreign countries, American men are highly, highly desirous because they aren't the foreign women love American men. Why? You've got two nickels to rub together. Let's be honest. And we tend to take pretty good care of ourselves. And we're also not as slap happy as some of their local men are. We have a little more couth, a little more style. Better clothes, better teeth. we take better care of ourselves, better hair, etc. You get the picture. My point is, I always tell guys, go where you're wanted. Go where you're wanted in anything, whether it's a company or a woman or a country, or a state in America. Go where you're wanted. Well, guys, I will say this, that you don't want an attorney or society at large to carve up your estate that you've worked so damn hard for. And the spoils of your hard work and sacrifice, don't give it to some ungrateful bitch and her attorney. Be careful who you marry. My dad taught me that very well. He said, be very careful, son. If you ever get married, be very careful. Get them younger than you, preferably. Don't always marry these older women. Nothing wrong with them. But don't forget, if you go too old, they're going to have health problems in a decade. And you're going to be there taking care of them. You'll be a male nurse. I know, because it happened to my father. My mother was a beautiful woman, but, you know, he was about 4 or 5 years younger, and you're going to end up taking care of her. Because women tend to go first on health issues. It just is the way it is. Men tend to keep ourselves better. We have less health issues. Women, you're going to be taking care of them. You want a younger wife to take care of you. That's a better way to go. So you take care of her financially. She takes care of you. It's just a better trade, if you will. It's a better way to go about your business. If you don't find that girl, then I don't recommend it. Don't marry just to marry. That used to work. Not really, but it's sort of in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. Not anymore. You cannot afford these financial sinkholes. You will not be able to recover from them, guys. Take you a decade just to get over a divorce. And then the economy implodes again and again and again. Unbelievable. Well, I hope you enjoy the show. We'll sign off from Valhalla Studios here in Arizona. Stay tuned for this Thursday night, 8 o'clock Mountain Standard Time, our next show. I really love the Bachelor Show. That's a show that I talked to many of my friends about. And I'm so glad that you were able to come into the Bachelor's Den tonight and sit around the campfire and our Viking bonfire and listen and learn. As I learn from you, you can learn from us. And together, we will forge a new nation, maybe. Have a great night. Ciao. God bless you all. We'll talk to you soon. And from Valhalla Studios, I wish you all a good night.